Yo, what's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the JT Sports Podcast. I'm your host, JT. Real quick, do me a favor. Hit that like button, subscribe to the channel, and turn on post notifications so you don't miss when we drop new content. Check us out on Apple and Spotify. If you're listening on podcasting platforms, give us a five-star review if you enjoy. What's up, everyone? Hope you guys had a wonderful weekend. Last week, I dropped a segment titled Why I Didn't Think the Raiders Were Going to Win Anything Because of Their Mid-Quarterback Room, and that segment was met with tons of backlash from Raider Nation. You had Raiders fans saying how it was lazy, bare-bones analysis, how I needed to do more research, and how I didn't know shit about football. And after going back and re-watching that video, you guys actually were right. And I wanted to come on here and apologize to the whole entire Raiders fan base for me giving out such a bullshit take with not a lot of in-depth research behind it. So on this episode, I want to give a newfound opinion on the Raiders going into this season with me doing more due diligence on this team. I also want to call out the Bryce Young doubters. We're going to discuss the Atlanta Falcons offense, what to expect from it this season, the NFL streaming service problem, and I got some thoughts on the New York Giants new throwback uniforms that they just dropped. Before we get into it, here's a quick word from our partner, Mint Mobile. When you pay your phone bill, do you always tell yourself, man, I'm spending way too much money on this shit? Are you looking to save? Our partner Mint Mobile has you covered with plans as low as $15 a month that give you unlimited talk, text, and high-speed data on the nation's largest 5G network. Switch to Mint Mobile right now and start saving on your monthly phone bill. Go to trymintmobile.com/JTSports or click the link in the description or pinned comment below to get access to premium wireless for as low as $15 a month. Right now, new customers that purchase a Mint Mobile plan before May 31st will also receive a 6-month subscription to Paramount Plus for no additional cost. So what are you waiting for? Switching to Mint is easy. It only takes 15 minutes to do. You can get a new phone or keep the current one that you got. Go to trymintmobile.com/JTSports or click the link in the description or pinned comment below and start saving on your monthly phone bill and get a 6-month subscription to Paramount Plus for no additional charge when you sign up before May 31st. Hurry, this offer won't last long, so switch to Mint Mobile today. Raider Nation is incredibly optimistic about this upcoming season. They've been telling me how I don't know shit about football if I don't see this team winning anything less than at least 9 games. And last week I dropped a segment titled, Why I Didn't Think the Raiders Were Going to Win Anything Because of Their Mid-Quarterback Room. And of course that video was met with tons of criticism from you Raiders fans. You guys said that it was lazy, bare bones analysis, how I didn't do any research at all, and you guys were right. You guys actually were right. And after doing some more due diligence on this team, you know, there's a lot to love about the Raiders going into this season. I mean, you got Antonio Pierce, who now is the full-time head coach after going 5-4 as the interim last year in replace of Josh McDaniels, who we all can agree he was terrible, right? And, you know, he made a really good hire, bringing in Luke Getsy to be his offensive coordinator. Luke Getsy was the offensive coordinator the last couple of years for the Chicago Bears, and he got fired because he did a great job of helping develop Justin Fields become a better passer to the point that they replaced Justin Fields with Caleb Williams and shipped him off to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and his play calling was great. I mean, there was a game that I watched the Bears play last year, early in the season, when they lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Luke Getsy led in that game. He dialed up 3 consecutive screen passes, which the third one got intercepted and returned for the game-winning pick 6. And, you know, if he did such a great job of helping Justin Fields improve as a passer, imagine how he's going to help Aiden O'Connell take that next step year or two into his NFL career. His play calling is so great. Like, it's so innovative. It's unique. It's run pass. So it's quarterback friendly. And he puts a lot of emphasis on making sure that the quarterback is in a system that maximizes his ability. Because, you know, it's run first. And he doesn't really ask his quarterback to do too much, which is great for the Las Vegas Raiders because they beat the Kansas City Chiefs on Christmas Day with Aiden O'Connell not completing a single pass after the first quarter. So I think it's fair to agree that Luke Getsy is going to be a perfect fit for getting the most out of Aiden O'Connell. And what makes this hiring even better is that this wasn't even the guy who they wanted initially. They initially planned on hiring Cliff Kingsbury, but they got outbid for his services by the Washington Commanders, so this was their second choice. And you want to know another reason to be optimistic about the Las Vegas Raiders' chances of possibly winning 9-10 games this season? They got a really fantastic quarterback room. You know, since 2010, only 11 quarterbacks drafted after the first round have been multi-year starters, and only four of those guys since 2015. Have been really good quarterbacks, those being Dak Prescott, Gardner Minshew, Jalen Hurts, and Brock Purdy. And many Raiders fans believe that Aiden O'Connell could be the next hidden gem that was a late round steal for them in the middle portion of the draft. And his last four games were really impressive. You know, he had 8 touchdowns to 0 interceptions. His final game of the season against the Denver Broncos, he threw 2 touchdowns, no picks. The Broncos had the NFL's worst defense that year. This was the same defense that allowed the Miami Dolphins to put 70 on them. And they were 29th in yards per game allowed. And then the game before that against the Indianapolis Colts, he balled out against Gardner Minshew, the guy who he's going to be competing against this offseason for the starting job. The Colts defense ranked 24th in the NFL in total defense, and he had 2 touchdowns and 0 interceptions. And of course, we all remember his masterful performance on Christmas Day when he was so good that the Raiders didn't even need him to throw a pass after the first quarter to win the game. And then against the Los Angeles Chargers Thursday Night Football, we can't forget that game because that was Aiden O'Connell's coming out party. I mean, that dude went absolutely berserk against Brandon Staley's defense. And Aiden O'Connell was so good that he did Los Angeles Chargers fans a favor. He got Brandon Staley, arguably the worst coach in the NFL, fired. They probably should have fired that dude at halftime. So props to Aiden O'Connell for helping the LA Chargers take out the trash. And then let's not just forget about how good he played against the Minnesota Vikings, who played 2 backups in that game. Joshua Dobbs, who went from the astronaut to a pastronaut in the span of 1 week and then reverted back to an astronaut. And he played so bad that, you know, the Minnesota Vikings, they started getting really worried that they were going to lose to Aiden O'Connell in that game. So you know what they had to do? They had to put Nick Mullins in that thing and ended up finding a way to steal a victory from the Raiders 3-0. And then against the Miami Dolphins, like, we just don't talk about that game because that was Aiden O'Connell's, you know, first action, him really getting his feet wet into the NFL. So it's understandable for him against the best team that he played all year to have 1 touchdown and 3 interceptions. He's a young quarterback. He was a mid-round selection. The dude did the best that he could considering his situation. And there's a lot to be optimistic about Aiden O'Connell, even though we've only had 10 quarterbacks since 2010 who have been mid-round selections that have resulted in multi-year starters. And then you got Gardner Minshew, right? Let's say that you don't like Aiden O'Connell. You go with Gardner Minshew as your starting quarterback, who was so good that the Indianapolis Colts said, you know what? We're not going to risk starting Gardner Minshew week 1 because we don't want him to get injured. We're going to throw Anthony Richardson out there, let him get beat up, and then we're going to let Gardner Minshew come out there and lead us to the postseason. And it's really crazy how, you know, him going to the Las Vegas Raiders could be a better situation than what he was in with the Indianapolis Colts because he has Shane Steichen as his head coach, who is not really a great offensive coordinator. You feel me? Like, when you think of Shane Steichen, you think of somebody who was the OC for the Chargers, Justin Herbert's rookie season, which resulted in Justin Herbert having one of the greatest first years that we've ever seen out of a first-year quarterback. And then when he got hired to be the OC for the Philadelphia Eagles, he helped Jalen Hurts elevate his game to an MVP level, which resulted in the Eagles nearly beating the Chiefs in the Super Bowl a few years ago. So there is so much to like about the Las Vegas Raiders and what they have on offense. You look at their quarterback room, Aiden O'Connell has so much potential that he could end up being the next coming of Tom Brady, people. Like, I've seen people make videos about how Aiden O'Connell could be another version of Tom Brady. You know, and then if you don't like Aiden O'Connell, Gardner Minshew. He's bounced around a couple of teams now, and he's good enough to, you know, keep you afloat in a division that's pretty tough where you got to see Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert twice a year. And then also, you know, you got to go up against the AFC North, so you got to play Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow. So I'm just looking at the Las Vegas Raiders right now, and I'm just loving everything that they have coming into this season on offense. This is definitely a team that is equipped to not only compete for the AFC West this season, but they possibly could make it to the playoffs and maybe win a playoff game or two. You know, Aiden O'Connell has so much potential, even though we've only seen 10 quarterbacks since 2010 who have become multi-year starters not being drafted in the first round. And the last quarterback who the Raiders drafted, who was not a first-round pick, ended up being pretty good. His name was Derek Carr. Can we just cut the shit? The Raiders are not going to be good this year. You Raiders fans are drowning in the Kool-Aid. And your optimism is really misplaced. You see, your whole excuse is let's just ignore all the red flags and let's just think about the good. You know, that's funny because I heard the same thing last year when you guys said, man, JT, we're tired of changing coaches every year, bro. We done been through so much as a fan base that we gotta be optimistic. And look where that got you. Josh McDaniels didn't even last the season. And then you gassed up Jimmy Garoppolo. And where did that get you? The dude was so bad that once Antonio Pierce took over, he could even stand to look at that fool underneath center again, despite how much he was getting paid. And now he's the backup quarterback for the Los Angeles Rams. You Raiders fans are in for another disappointing season. You got Luke Getsy as your offensive coordinator. This dude wasn't even your first preferred option to be OC. You couldn't get Cliff Kingsbury, so you said, know what? We're going to get Luke Getsy. And Antonio Pierce's reasoning for hiring Luke Getsy was, man, when he was calling plays for the Chicago Bears against us, and they didn't have Justin Fields and none of the starting running backs, his offense cooked us, man. Is that an indictment on your defense? Or is that a testament to how good of an OC Luke Getsy is? Because I think Chicago Bears fans would tell you the latter. I get that it's the offseason and it's optimism season. Everybody's optimistic about their team, but when do we just insert a little bit of some truth serum? You feel me? I'm not biased. I don't have any reason to hate the Raiders. As a matter of fact, I have every reason to root for you guys to succeed because your fan base has been suffering since I came out of the womb. I was born in 2006, Grady Hospital in Atlanta, Georgia. And I've only witnessed the Raiders be good about 4 or 5 times throughout my lifetime. So I would like to see the Raiders actually be a pretty good team this year, but I doubt that happens because they don't have a good quarterback. And this is a quarterback-driven league. And when you have a defensive-minded coach that hired one of the worst offensive coordinators in the National Football League to be his OC, how can you possibly have a lot of confidence that this is going to work? Luke Getsy hasn't proven anything as an OC, at least anything that will make you suspect that he can be good. What he does best is running the football. And the Raiders do have a really good offensive line. I love Zamir White. I think he can have a breakout season. I love their defense. But for the Raiders to win 9-10 games, they would need a lot of miracles to happen. They would need the ball to bounce their way in a couple of close games. You got a really tough schedule. You got to go up against Jim Harbaugh with Justin Herbert twice in a year. I know you Raiders fans keep saying how the Chargers have been so bad in the past, but you don't want to admit the fact that Jim Harbaugh is the best head coach that this franchise has ever hired. The Kansas City Chiefs are the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, they just won a Super Bowl last year. Yeah, you got lucky Christmas Day, but a few weeks before that Christmas Day miracle, They clowned you 31-17. They beat you with ease. And I just told you how there's only been 10 quarterbacks since 2010 that have been non-first rounders that have been multi-year starters. I don't see Aiden O'Connell being one of them. At best, he's a bridge quarterback or a good backup quarterback. You Raiders fans are really swimming in the delusion that you're a playoff team and you got a chance to compete for a division when you really don't. And you guys been singing this same tune with this franchise for over the last decade. And all this led to is down the road of despair and disappointment. So you might as well just prepare yourself for the disappointment now. You can call me a hater all you want to, but I promise you, and 6-7 months from now, you're going to come back to this video and you're going to say, you know what, JT? You were right, just like how you were right last year with this team and the year before that, when you really should have hired Rich Bisaccia to be your full-time head coach. It seems like that mistake is still coming back to haunt you now. And I want Antonio Pierce to succeed, not just because he's a black brother of mine, but because I really believe that he can end up being a really good coach for Las Vegas as long as he gets the quarterback right. And you see, what you guys ignored about that video, outside the red flags, is the fact that my whole point of why you're not going to be that good this year is because you are severely lacking the necessary talent needed to win games consistently in the NFL. You're going to have a hard time winning games going between Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell. Those are two low-end starting quarterbacks. Somebody had the nerve to bring up Gardner Minshew made it to the damn Pro Bowl. Newsflash, the Ravens' backup quarterback, the season before last, he made it to the Pro Bowl too. The Pro Bowl doesn't mean anything anymore because most of the guys who get voted in choose not to participate because they don't take it serious. It's not even a Pro Bowl game anymore. It's Pro Bowl games. They're playing dodgeball and flag football and shit in the Pro Bowl. And that's what you're gassing up? Like, you Raiders fans gas up anything. You gassed up Jimmy Garoppolo. You gassed up Josh McDaniels. I'm sorry that the truth hurts. I get that you guys have been put through a lot with this team, but it looks like you're going to be in for another tough season. So would you rather me come on here and be honest with you? Or would you rather me come on here and tell you what you want to hear like the rest of these Raiders podcasters who know that this team isn't going to be that good neither? And if you believe otherwise, please DM me on Instagram at JTSports _ is where you can find me on Instagram, and at JTSports _ on X, and put your money where your mouth is if you believe the Raiders are going to be a 10-win team this year. Because I feel otherwise, and I'm willing to bet money on it. And I already have money on the Raiders with the under this year. I don't think you're going to be a crappy team. You got a good defense. Antonio Pierce is one of those guys who's able to make players that play under him believe in themselves. But eventually, you're going to need some decent quarterback play if you want to be a legit team. And you're not going to be that this year. You're going to be in a lot of close games that you're going to lose because you just don't have the horses at quarterback. It's foolish to think that a defensive-minded coach in a league that's ran by offensive-minded coaches is going to be able to win with mid-quarterback play. But yeah, you just want to ignore the fact that he was 4-5 against backup QBs and he didn't beat a single team that had a winning record outside of getting lucky Christmas Day against Kansas City. But you just want to ignore the red flags. You just want to drown in the optimism. There has to be a balance between optimism and being realistic about the current situation. And you Raiders fans aren't trying to be realistic. You're just trying to be hopeful. And being hopeful, if you're willing to put your money where your mouth is going to have you losing money to me if you're willing to DM me. So please, if you believe that this team is going to be a 9-10-win team, please DM me on Instagram. I would love to take your money. It really grinds my gears how Bryce Young has already been labeled a bust by the clowns in the national media and all the casual fans out there. So I guess everything was Bryce Young's fault last year, right? I guess he was supposed to be out there playing pump, punt, pass, pass blocking for himself, catching his own passes, and running the football. And it's so ironic How many clowns out here claim they know ball and, you know, are quick to say, I don't know anything about football because I still believe in Bryce Young. And they expected Bryce Young to turn the shitty situation into gold, having to go through two head coaches and three offensive coordinator changes in the span of one season. He had no offensive line, no run game. He had 125-year-old Adam Thielen being his only reliable wide receiver. But yet, that's making excuses? Is that making excuses? Or is that just being honest about the situation? You see, yes, I understand that Bryce Young was the number one overall pick, and he has to be able to overcome certain limitations. But he can't overcome a complete shit show that he was thrown into last year. And what's so ironic is, despite how bad the Carolina Panthers were last year, Bryce Young beat C.J. Stroud when the Panthers played the Texans, and he outplayed them too, but nobody talks about that though. C.J. Stroud is such the golden boy, but he's 0-1 against the guy who got drafted number one overall over him, who many people felt was a mistake getting taken before him. But nobody talks about that, though. Nobody talks about how well Bryce Young played against the Green Bay Packers and Jordan Love. To me, Bryce Young's rookie season doesn't count. I look at his rookie season as a throwaway year, the same way I looked at Trevor Lawrence's rookie season with Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer was so bad as a head coach that he didn't even make it to the final week of the regular season. They cut ties with that dude when they still had like a month and some change left of the year. And then you saw how good Trevor Lawrence looked year two once Doug Peterson arrived on the scene and he got a legitimate head coach with a legitimate supporting cast. And I believe that the same is going to happen with Bryce Young this year, with Dave Canales being his new head coach. Dave Canales is the king when it comes to resurrecting quarterbacks' careers. He helped resurrect Baker Mayfield's career last year with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And before that, he was instrumental in Geno Smith having that random season when he just shocked us all and he damn near was an MVP candidate. You look at the new supporting cast that the Panthers have given Bryce Young, a better offensive line. You got Deontay Johnson, Xavier Legette as his two number one, as his two best options at wide receiver, with Adam Thielen most likely reverting to his number three option. Bryce Young has everything around him to succeed in Carolina this year. Now, I'm not going to make any more excuses for Bryce Young this year if he underwhelms again. When you get drafted number one overall, you already know you're going into a bad situation. But the reason for you getting drafted that high is because you're able to overcome dysfunction. When Joe Burrow got drafted to the Cincinnati Bengals, he didn't have an all-around great situation. He took them to the Super Bowl with a star-studded group of wide receivers, but one of the worst offensive lines in the Super Bowl era to ever make it to that game. When you get drafted high, you're not going to a great franchise or a great situation, so you have to be able to overcome limitations. Bryce Young, he has limitations himself that he has to overcome, and we don't know if he's going to be able to reach his full potential because of his limitations with his size. But one thing that I do see with Bryce Young is that I saw a guy who was tough as nails. I saw a guy who got hit hella times and got back up. Hell, he missed less games than Anthony Richardson and C.J. Stroud, guys who were giants compared to him. And many people had questions about Bryce Young's durability and how he was going to be able to hold up throughout the 17-game regular season. Well, he held up pretty fine considering how big of a disaster the Carolina Panthers were last year when it came to their offensive line, the wide receivers not being able to separate, the play calling being abysmal. I'm not saying that Bryce Young wasn't part of the problem, but I think that his rookie season and how underwhelming he looked was more due to the situation that he was in. Because I remember the Bryce Young that I saw out of Alabama, and the Bryce Young that I saw in Alabama looked nothing like the Bryce Young that I saw last year. As a matter of fact, he looked worse. And I understand that the NFL game is way different from the college game. You don't have to scream that at me. But Bryce Young carried Alabama on his back. And I get sick and tired of the casuals out there who just say, man, JT, he played for Bama. He played on a stacked team. No, if you go and you look at that roster and you do your homework, there's only two players on that Bama team that Bryce Young played with that were first rounders, that being Jahmyr Gibbs and Jameson Williams. You can't name another first round pick off those Alabama teams that Bryce Young played on the offensive side of the football. When Bryce Young left for the NFL draft, Nick Saban cleared house with his whole entire coaching staff. You want to know why? His explanation was, we were too Bryce Young dependent. Bryce Young, I still believe, has all the talent in the world, despite his lack of size, to become one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Great anticipation, really accurate, has high football IQ. He just was in a compromising situation. And I think that a lot of people in the media and fans are really unfair with how they assess Bryce Young's first year because of how great C.J. Stroud was. C.J. Stroud went to the Houston Texans, who had DeMeco Ryans as their head coach. And although he's a defensive-minded coach, this dude is a stud head coach. Everybody knew once the Texans hired him, he was going to succeed. We just didn't know how long it was going to take. We just didn't expect the Texans to ride out the gate when the AFC South and C.J. Stroud's first season. C.J. Stroud had better receivers than what Bryce Young had. Yes, his offensive line wasn't good neither, and he didn't really have much of a run game, but his receivers, Tank Dell, Nico Collins, were miles better than anything that the Carolina Panthers gave Bryce Young to work with in 2023. And I'm going to remind you guys one last time, Bryce Young is 1-0 against C.J. Stroud. I love C.J. Stroud. He's one of my favorite players in the league, but he's 1-0 against the poster boy and the golden child who many people criticize the Carolina Panthers for not drafting over Bryce Young. I'm just saying, I expect Bryce Young to shake back this year under Dave Canales. Don't be surprised if you see Bryce Young and running to be a finalist for a comeback player of the year this year. I feel like too many people have counted this dude out way too quickly, and they've been unfair when it comes to assessing his situation. Yes, the quarterback position is the most important in the NFL because they have the greatest influence on the team because they're the only player on offense or on the team in general who touches the ball every play. And the better the quarterback, the more they can do with less. But you just can't expect a guy like Bryce Young to go into as bad as the situation that he was in last year and just find a way to succeed because it was damn near impossible. And this isn't the first time we've seen a young quarterback early into their career get compromised being in a bad situation. Recently, Trevor Lawrence fell victim to the same thing, and we saw how good he looked the following year under Doug Peterson. So I'm not going to ride off Bryce Young just yet. This is the year that I'm going to take to actually assess and define just how good Bryce Young is going to be in the NFL. I'm just going to act like his rookie season didn't happen because he didn't have anything to work with. And if you actually are somebody who follows the game of football and you claim to know this game as well as what you claim to do in the comment section, then you should know that no matter how good of a quarterback you may be, you got to have some functioning parts around you to win. Yes, Patrick Mahomes won the Super Bowl with some no names at receiver, but he still had Travis Kelce. He still had Rashee Rice, and he has Andy Reid, one of the greatest offensive minds, if not the greatest offensive mind, that ever coached this game. Bryce Young has to overcome certain limitations, but he couldn't overcome a complete disaster, which was the Carolina Panthers last year. Watching the Falcons offense should be fun again. Now that Arthur, I'm not going to prioritize using my best players on offense, Smith is gone. And there's tons of reasons to be excited about the Atlanta Falcons offense this year. Raheem Morris, their new head coach, he brings along with them Zach Robinson, who spent 5 years with Sean McVay on that Rams coaching staff and several different roles such as quarterbacks coach, passing games coordinator, and wide receivers coach. He's going to make him his offensive coordinator. And you definitely can expect way more creativity and innovation with this offense this year. First of all, you have Kirk Cousins, which there are concerns about how well Kirk Cousins is going to play coming off that season-ending Achilles injury. But before he sustained that injury last year, he was playing at an MVP level. That was some of the best football that Kirk Cousins played in his whole entire career. And he's going to be a perfect fit in Zach Robinson's offense because Sean McVay and the Kyle Shanahan coaches that come from those coaching trees, they always have a lot of respect and admirations for Kirk Cousins' game. Why? Because he plays within structure. He's the ultimate game manager. And I don't say that in a bad way. I say that in a really positive way because he executes the play at the highest level capable. He doesn't try to improvise. He doesn't go off script. You call the play and Kirk Cousins runs the play to perfection how you want it. And with the playmakers that he has around him, Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson, there's no reason why Kirk Cousins shouldn't be able to pick up from where he left off last year in Minnesota. I know he's still trying to get back to 100% from that injury, but this is a tailor-made team ready to win this season. And if the Atlanta Falcons don't win the NFC South this year, it's going to be a major disappointment because without a doubt, this is the most talented team in this division by landslide. Bijan Robinson, I think he could be in for an all-pro season this year now that he actually has an offensive coordinator that's going to utilize him more than just a running back. I've been telling people this about Bijan Robinson ever since the Falcons drafted him. Stop calling this dude a running back. He's not a running back. He's a weapon. And Arthur Smith didn't use him as a weapon. How many times did we see Bijan Robinson line up in the slot as receiver? I can't remember too many times seeing him lined up in that capacity. I saw a lot of clips of him lining up at receiver in training camp, though, but regular season came around, didn't really see too many snaps him taking at wide receiver. And then you got Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts may be one of the most underrated players in the NFL coming into this year because not a lot of fans know just how good this dude is because he's been compromised by Arthur Smith, who wants to prioritize dudes like Jonnu Smith over him. Kyle Pitts is a weapon too. Not only is he just a really good tight end, but you can line him up at wide receiver. He can play a little bit of fullback. You can get creative with how you utilize him coming out the backfield in the passing game. So now that you have Zach Robinson, he's just going to open up a whole new different realm of possibilities for this offense in 2024. Like, I am so excited to watch the Atlanta Falcons offense this year that I plan on watching every single game because there are a lot of guys on this team that I'm going to be picking up on my fantasy football squads this year. You signed Darnell Mooney in free agency. You traded for Rondale Moore in the trade for when you traded Desmond Ridder to the Arizona Cardinals. You got him in return. And now you have speed at wideout, which was something that the Falcons have been severely lacking for the last couple of years. Now you have a good possession wide receiver in Drake London. And then you have two guys who can take the top off the defense downfield in Darnell Mooney and Rondale Moore. And when you think about the running back position for Atlanta, not only do you have Bijan Robinson, but you also have Tyler Allgeier. So you got a really good 1-2 punch. And Raheem Morris, yes, he's excited about all the talent that the Falcons have when it comes to their skill position this year. But the thing that he has praised the most about this offense and the thing that he's been the most excited about has been the offensive line, which returns all 5 starters from last year. And this is an offensive line that has gotten better every single season since 2020. They retained their offensive line coach, Dwayne Ledford, who's now with his 4th season with this franchise. And if he would have decided to go in a different direction, he had a lot of opportunities. Like, the New York Giants wanted this dude really badly. And not only did they retain him, but they also promoted him to run game coordinator also. And this was an offensive line that was 8th in the league in rushing yards per game. So when you got an offensive line that's really good in pass protection, really good against the run, you got some really good wide receivers, you got really good backs, there's no reason why Kirk Cousins shouldn't be able to have a bounce back season this year. And if Kirk Cousins does end up regressing and you got to bench him, hey, you got my boy Michael Penix, who you took 8th overall. I think Michael Penix was more than just the quarterback of the future for the Atlanta Falcons. I also believe that he was the Falcons' insurance plan just in case Kirk Cousins ends up not looking like the guy that we saw pre-Achilles injury last year in Minnesota. So there are so many reasons to be optimistic about what Atlanta's offense could be this season. I love the hiring of Zach Robinson as their offensive coordinator. You can never go wrong with these Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan disciples. They technically are really safe hires. You know, they're going to be really innovative. And when you think about all of the weapons that the Falcons have to work with that was held back by Arthur Smith's lackluster creativity and play calling, I mean, I don't see how this can't be one of the NFL's most explosive offenses in 2024. And I'm a little jealous. You want to know why? Because I'm a Steelers fan, and guess who we hired to be our offensive coordinator? Pray for me, Falcons fans. Don't just pray for me, but pray for the Steelers this year. We're going to need it. I promise you. You know, I miss when times were so much simpler, when if you wanted to watch an NFL game, you just grabbed your remote, you turned on the TV, you flipped the channel to CBS, Fox, or NBC, and boom, there you go. There's your football. Now in 2024, you got to download and sign up for all these damn streaming services just to watch two games on holidays. Like at this point, you're better off just paying for tickets to watch the game in person. So what's next? You got games on Netflix on Christmas Day. What's going to happen next year? You're going to end up having Thanksgiving games being played on Tubi? I mean, the whole streaming service debacle with the NFL has to be solved. Because there's no reason why we should have to go through all this hassle to watch a few games. Like, why can't they just keep it on CBS and Fox? You see, when they came out a few years ago and said that we all needed to cut the cord, we needed to get rid of cable, we all thought that it was going to be something cutting edge. We thought that cutting the cord was for the better. But now that I think about it, me being a lot older, cutting the cord has been is a major inconvenience. Now, I'm not one of those old heads, you feel me, like my grandparents. It's understandable why they would be frustrated having to download all these streaming services to watch games. But for a young person like me, you know, my frustration just lies with the fact that I get tired of having to pay $10, $15 just to watch some NFL games for one day. And yes, I do watch some of these games on those sites. I'm not going to reveal those sites. I'm not going to be a snitch. But sometimes those sites don't work for me all the time. Sometimes there's a lot of buffering. It'll be to the point where I just can't watch the game at all because it just pauses so frequently that it makes the game unwatchable. And then when the game actually is able to be watched from some of these websites, it's like 10 minutes behind. So if I have an affordable option to watch these NFL games legally and legitimately, I have no problem paying the money. Hell, I have no problem buying a Sunday ticket as long as they give me option that I can pay monthly. Why do I have to pay an annual fee of $400, $500 to watch all the NFL games? That is absolutely ludicrous to me. Why is it that you just can't give me the option to pay $25, $35 a month to have access to Sunday Ticket? I get that we live in a corporate world, and I don't need you guys lecturing to me about it. I understand. But there's a major problem that the NFL has when it comes to inconveniencing their consumers. I get that you got to make money, but it shouldn't be at the expense of putting your consumer through all these damn loops that have to watch these games on holidays. Like, bro, who the hell really uses Peacock? Honestly. And you're telling me for one day out the year, I got to get taxed $10 or $12 just to sign up to Peacock to watch one game? Like, I'm good off that. So when, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Ravens and the Chiefs Texans play on Christmas Day this year, I won't be watching. You know what I'm going to be watching instead? The college football playoffs. Because unlike the NFL, college football doesn't put me through all these loops that I have to go through to watch these games. I don't have to download Amazon Prime, Peacock, Paramount Plus, Netflix to watch these damn games. All I have to do is turn on the TV or turn on my Xbox, then turn on my TV, go to the ESPN app, and boom, the college football playoff games are there for me to watch without any extra hurdles. So I get that the NFL has to make money and times are changing, But all this is just nonsense to me. Like, seriously, why is it that we got to have 4 different apps just to watch a couple of games once throughout the year during the season? That makes no sense to me. It's like we're already getting taxed to hell for Sunday Ticket. Now you're finna make us pay extra just to watch one game on Peacock and 2 on Netflix just for me to unsubscribe the next day? Like, why would that as a consumer make me want to watch the NFL on Christmas Day instead of college football? And I'm a diehard Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I have not missed a Steelers game in 5 years. But when they play the Ravens this year, it'll be my first Steelers game that I don't watch. Because I'm not about to pay $15 or whatever it costs to get a Netflix subscription for 1 month. And no, I don't have Netflix because I don't need Netflix. I have Amazon Prime and I got HBO Max. Like, if you would have made some of these games on HBO Max, that would be understandable. But let's not act like all of us are using Peacock. I'm pretty sure a small majority of us use Peacock. So it's just, I'm just so fed up with the NFL going this whole streaming route. It's just like, I understand if you're going to have maybe a game or two on Paramount Plus or Peacock. But when you're just making all these different games be available on Amazon Prime and Peacock and Netflix, it just becomes a hassle and you inconvenience me as a consumer. And this isn't coming from somebody that's an old head. I'm 22 years old and I get frustrated having to go through all these loopholes to watch these damn games where I just want to turn on my Xbox and just watch some damn football without having to spend money. Like, why are you trying to make me pay to watch the game that I love? Didn't I not already put enough money into your pockets when I buy merchandise? When I buy tickets to go to games? Like, aren't you guys not making enough money off me? Like, how much money do you need from me? I guess it's true what Lil Wayne says. Too much money ain't enough money. But it is a giant inconvenience. At this point, you might as well put two Black Friday games on 2B. You might as well. You might as well try to find if you can get your little partnership with 2B. They ain't really got too much else on there worth watching. You might as well throw a few Black Friday NFL games on there. At least I won't have to get taxed for a 2B subscription. I'm just saying, I get that it's a corporate world. I don't need you guys to lecture me. I perfectly understand that. All I'm saying is, I would like on Christmas Day to turn on Chiefs, Texans, Ravens, Steelers, and not have to pay $15, $20 to watch it. I'm just saying. Is that me asking too much? It's like now I'm already about to pay $400 this year for Sunday Ticket. And now you're about to make me pay additional $35 to watch these games for one day out the year on Peacock and Netflix? Just for me to unsubscribe once they're over? I'm good, NFL. I'm good. You're making enough money off me. You're not about to make any more off me. You got it. I just will watch the college football playoffs instead of the 2 Christmas matchups that you're going to pay me to watch. How selfish do you have to be as a business to put your consumer through all this? All I want to do is watch football and enjoy my holidays. And instead, you're about to make me take some of my Christmas money or my Christmas bonus to have to use to pay for a subscription fee? Now, I get if you already have Netflix, this isn't no problem for you. But I know a good amount of people who don't have Netflix because they don't watch movies like that, or they just have HBO Max. If you have HBO Max, why do you need Netflix? Because HBO Max may have a better collection of movies and TV shows than what Netflix may have. So I'm just saying, like, at this point, you might as well just go ahead and pay for the tickets to go ahead and watch the games in person. Because it seems like that's a lot more cheaper than trying to enjoy the game from the comfort of your home. Like, it's a shame how all I want to do is watch football on Christmas, drink some hot chocolate, enjoy my holidays, and be cuddled up under the covers in the heat. You feel me? And watch some Christmas football. But oh, no, like, you about to make me pay $15, $20 for it. Like, you're already not making enough money off me. I am so good NFL. You will not get another dollar off me, especially if I'm paying $400 to $500 for that damn Sunday ticket package. Unbelievable. Like, and what, I got one more thing I gotta say before I move on here. I got an Xbox Series X that I bought last year, and the NFL app doesn't even work on that thing. And I didn't even talk about NFL Plus. Don't even get me started on that. I gotta pay $10, $15 a month just to watch some replays? What are we doing? You guys, I get that. Once again, I understand it's a corporatized industry that we're in. It's all about making money. I get that. But at this point now, it's so ridiculous. You're basically making me pay for something that used to be free. Now you gotta pay to watch the games now? Yeah, like I said, like, eventually, I wouldn't be surprised if we end up seeing two Black Friday games being played on Tubi. The NFL is just getting so cash hungry. Like, they're already not making enough money as it is. I hope that the college football playoffs really hurts the NFL revenue-wise and ratings-wise so they can change their thinking with this. Because let's be honest, bro, if it's more easier to watch these college football playoffs on ESPN and we don't have to pay for it, we're going to watch that instead if we don't feel like paying $15, $20 a month for Netflix. And I seen something a few days ago that said that Netflix and HBO and Hulu are all planning on teaming up to come together to have like a bundle package where you can pay $70, $80 a month and get access to all of the streaming platforms for a set price. Like, are you kidding me, bro? Streaming and cutting the cord has been for the worst. When they first cut the cord with cable, I thought it was the best thing in the world. But now, with me actually being an adult, it's a giant inconvenience. You know, it's funny how my people used to always say, man, JT, don't be in a rush to grow up. Because once you're an adult, you're going to start running into some different problems that you wish you weren't going to have to deal with when you were younger. And if this is the problems that they were talking about, me having to pay to watch football on Thanksgiving and Christmas Day, yeah, please, please let me go back to being a kid. I'm begging you, just let me have at least one Christmas Day to enjoy being a kid again, where I can flip on my TV with my remote, go to CBS and NBC and Fox, and watch all the games for free without additional cost. The New York Giants have dropped the NFL's most hideous throwback uniforms that I've ever seen. I wouldn't want to be caught seeing dead in these. These uniforms are supposed to commemorate the New York Giants' 100th season. They call them their Century Red uniforms, and I get that these things were made back in the 20s and the 30s, but some things you just have to leave in the past, bro. Some things in the past, you just got to let them just be the past, because these uniforms are terrible. The colorway is pretty clean, but just the way they're designed is hideous. And I guess, you know, the New York Giants want to redo the old mantra that used to go, if you play good or if you look good, you play good. I guess they're going for the look, if you look terrible, you're going to play terrible too and get that number one overall pick so they can replace Daniel Jones next year with a better quarterback. I mean, you got the blue stripe in the middle of the jersey. Like, that's terrible, bro. And look at the socks. You got the red, blue with the white on the top of the blue. Like, who thought that rebranding or rebringing back these jerseys was a good idea? And then you're trying to steal Michigan's helmet design. Like, I get the helmets look like that back in the day, but come on. If you were going to bring back these uniforms, you could at least alter them just a tad bit. And this isn't the first time I've seen uniforms this ugly. Like, the Pittsburgh Steelers got some uniforms that look a little bit exactly like these that are hella ugly too. Like, all the uniforms that they made back in the 20s and 30s when they first created football, like, they all were hideous. So I don't get why they would bring them back. Like, these uniforms are so freaking terrible. I can't even take the New York Giants serious in these. I already don't take them serious with the fact that they're starting Daniel Jones. Now you're about to have Daniel Jones out there playing in these uniforms? Yeah, the New York Giants are just destined for another bad season this year wearing these uniforms. I don't know what the hell they were thinking bringing these things back. I get that you want to celebrate your 100th season, but I mean, these are just downright ugly. I mean, seriously. I mean, you got that. I cannot get over the blue that they have in the middle of the jersey with the number in the middle, bro. Like, that's just so hideous because it looks so unmodern. We're in 2024 now. We're not in the 1920s and the 1935s. I get that you want to commemorate the 100th season, but you mean to tell me this was the best way to celebrate your 100th season? Bringing out these atrocities? If anything, you're just going to be nothing more than a meme, especially if you get beat up in them. Imagine if they end up getting blown out by the Dallas Cowboys again in these uniforms. Oh my goodness. Could you imagine the memes? These uniforms gotta be the worst ever designed in the history of the NFL. Like, once again, I have no problem with teams celebrating history and commemorating their 100 seasons, but I don't think this was a good way to commemorate their 100 year in existence. Playing in these atrocities, if you look terrible, you're going to play terrible. And that's what you're going to get out of the New York Giants anytime they throw on these century red uniforms. Let me know your thoughts on these uniforms down in the comment section down below, because I'm interested in hearing what you guys got to say about these, because these are just downright ugly. Like, absolutely ugly. Like, they should have just left these things in history. Let history be history. That's the problem with some of us, bro. Like, we keep going back to the same old thing in the past instead of just letting the past be the past. Like, this is one of those instances that you just leave the past alone. Truthfully. This is it for this episode of the JT Sports Podcast. I appreciate you guys for tuning in. If you enjoyed, leave a 5-star review. Remember, we're not just a YouTube channel. We're a podcast. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from. The JT Sports Podcast is available. Give us a 5-star review if you enjoyed. Follow us on Instagram at JT Sports_ and on X at JT Sports_. I appreciate you guys for tuning in. Hit that like button, subscribe to the channel, and turn on post notifications so you don't miss when we drop new content. And I will see you guys shortly with another episode of the JT Sports Podcast.